thought this would be the last message from Joshua, but it's not. But in the last two chapters, there's a lot there. So this morning, I just want to deal with the 23rd chapter of Joshua. To set this up, the major campaign of conquests are now over. And the cities of refuge have been established. All the tribes have now got their allotment, their inheritance. The land is at rest, you might say. It has now been 25 years since the Israelites were in the Promised Land. 25 years they've been there. Quarter of a century, they've already been in the Promised Land. And Joshua is now old. He's old in years. And he knows that he will soon die. So he gathers the leaders of the tribes, the elders, and the leaders of all the tribes, even those that were east of the Jordan. Gad, Manasseh, Reuben, half-tribe Manasseh, they all come together. Comes to address the people at Shiloh first, and then last of all, next week we'll deal with he has them come to Shechem and the significance of that. But now, remember how old he was when he first came into the Promised Land. They've been there 25 years now. So Joshua was around 85 years old at first. Now they've been there 25 years. That's what it says. Now it came about after many days. That many days, that's 25 years. That's a long time, isn't it? The scripture said, tells us, after many days, when the Lord had given rest to Israel, from all their enemies on every side. And Joshua was old, advanced in years. But the text tells us he was old. But not only was old, he was advanced in years. Because he had lived a long time. But Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and their heads. The leader, the head of the tribes. And their judges. That's would be those of the Levites. And their officers. And said to them, I'm old. I'm old. Advanced in years. And you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. See, I have apportioned to you these nations which remain as an inheritance for your tribes, with all the nations which I have cut off. From the Jordan, even to the Great Sea, that's the Mediterranean, toward the setting of the sun. The Lord your God, he will thrust them out before you and drive them from before you, and you will possess their land, just as the Lord your God promised you. Joshua is appealing to the people. telling them that he's old. But he said, advanced in years. He said, guys, fellas, brothers, folks, I'm not going to be around forever. But I want you to remember some things. I want you to remember the standard. I want you to remember the past. So he appeals to what some of the people had seen themselves. What is he doing here? He's reminding them that yes, he succeeded Moses. And he led them. Yahweh had him lead the people. But he's telling them, I'm not going to be around forever. But look at what Yahweh has done for you. He reminded them of the historical realities on which their faith rested. On which the reason why they are where they are at was because of Yahweh. Because of the Lord God. He is saying, the credit goes not to me. The credit goes not to you. The credit goes to Yahweh. The credit goes to the Lord God. It's what he wants to tell them first of all. In essence, what he says here is that Yahweh gave them two types of land in the Promised Land and in east of the Jordan as well. The two types of land? Yahweh drove out the people there so they could settle in the land. But there's also people left, that they left in the land. So, two types of land. Part of the land, they have it free and clear. But part of the land, that second type, they still got work to do. There's still the nations there. And Joshua's telling them, I'm old in years. Now, remember, they've been there 25 years already. But there's still pagan people. There's still pagan nations around them. Living amongst them. But Joshua is telling them that he is confident in Yahweh. He's confident in Yahweh keeping his promises. That's what he goes on to say. The Lord your God, he will thrust them out from before you and drive them from before you, and you will possess their land. Just as the Lord your God promised you. He's telling them, even though you've been here 25 years already, there's still a lot to do, but Yahweh is there. Yahweh will take care of it for you. He will drive them out. He said, he promised you that. He will fulfill his promises. What, and this is what we have to see here. Joshua is telling them that their faith, their belief in Yahweh, it's grounded. It's rooted. It's grounded and it's rooted in space-time. In essence, Joshua is telling them that your history is, does not go in cycles, is not cyclical, is linear. It has a beginning and it has an ending point. And Joshua is telling them their faith is objective. It's grounded. Well, what about us today? Is there a reason for faith that God has given us today? John chapter 20, verse 30, to me, spells out and parallels what Joshua said. What's that verse saying? Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, the apostles, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, present tense, continuous action, you may have life in His name. That parallels what Joshua says here. Bible claims what the Scriptures lay out for us, brothers and sisters. They are good, evidential, and sufficient reasons for our faith. And that's what Joshua was telling them. Not because just of what they had seen, but because of what Yahweh had done. What He had told them. And so for us, the Scriptures, the Bible, the claims that are laid out in there, in John 20, verse 31, parallels that. They are good. They are evidential, which means we have evidence for and sufficient reasons for our belief, for faith. That can be, and this is what Joshua is telling them, consider it, act upon it. And these things that we find in the Scriptures for us today, they can be considered and acted upon. And we must do so. God gave us a written, objective, propositional authority. By which to judge, by which to discern moral matters, things in the world that we see, things among us, things in the church. It's not subjective. It's not feeling wise. It is objective. Repeat, it is objective propositional authority that we have, contrary to what they want to tell us today. But notice something here as we go on. Yahweh's promises of the future, what Joshua is telling us. The promises of the future are not unconditional. Notice what he says here. Verse 6. Be very firm, then, to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. That's the Torah. That's what is what we find in the first five books of the Scriptures, the Pentateuch. So that you may not, and notice what he says, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. That goes back to, all the way back to the beginning of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Joshua is reminding them of that. Remember the standard. What is the standard? The standard is what Yahweh gave Moses. And it was written down. That means it's objective. That means it's propositional. That means that God spoke. So Joshua here passes on the statement that God made to him at the very beginning when he was leading the people. This also helps us to see that already they have word from God. We already have the beginning of the Scriptures. Yahweh gave the Israelites here a set of moral categories in propositional form, in which he declared himself, and this word is what Joshua is telling them, absolute. Not you can take it or leave it. Not you can do what you want to do. You can follow it or not follow it. God wasn't saying that. He wasn't saying, I don't care what you do. God was saying, follow this. Do it. This is why I have given it to you. And it's a set you read throughout the first five books. Specifically, Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Yahweh, through Joshua, is reminding the people of this. And he's telling them, I have not left you on your own, just to go your own way. I have given you things that you are to live by. And I would say that God said that I've given you things to live by for your benefit, so that you will be prosperous. You will be successful. But they are conditional. That's what Joshua means in verse 6 here. And notice what he says as he goes on. So that you will not associate with these nations, the nations of people that are among them, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you, and as for you, no man has stood before you to this day, he says. One of your men puts to flight a thousand. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. For if you ever, now notice this, this is where we see that the promises of the future are not unconditional. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you, but they will be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. What a message to the people, huh?
Well, Jesus said, no one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.
Exactly. And in essence, that's what Joshua is telling the people here. What he says in verses 10 through 13 of chapter 23 relates back to what they did and what they said at Mount Ebal and Gerizim. If you read back to chapter 8, verses 34 through 35, those are commands that everyone, that they all could understand. Yahweh's blessings depended upon whether or not his people obeyed, did what he said, followed him. And notice what he says, what Joshua tells them. That yes, there are other nations, there are other people still within the land. But what he tells them is, do not associate with them. Do not associate with those remaining in the land. As Robert Hubbard says, probably what Joshua is referring to here is that it refers to day-to-day contacts. Excuse me. That might tempt the Israelites to become like the Canaanites. Just to get along. And thus, if they did that, they would lose their unique identity. My brothers and sisters, there's a lesson in that for us today. A major lesson in that for us today. I agree with Hubbard here. Is that what Joshua is referring to is that to their day-to-day contacts with the people of the land, that it might tempt the Israelites to become like the Canaanites. Why? We just want to get along. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
We just want to get along. So that we'll be at peace. And everything be okay among us.
Is that why the churches are empty?
What's that?
Is that why the churches are empty? Excuses.
But what happened when they would do that? Joshua is saying, you do that, you're going to lose your identity. They have a unique identity. God said, I want a holy people. He said, you are my people. And this is what I'm laying out for you. And I want you to be my people. I want you to love me and only me as God, as the only God. That didn't mean they weren't supposed to love their neighbors. They weren't to love others. But their loyalty exclusively was to Yahweh, was to be to God. What Joshua is saying here is they must stay the course. Think about it. The same thing is for us in the church. I believe God is telling us we must stay the course. We have an identity. Do you realize that? Who's our identity? Where's our identity at? Our identity is in Christ. And that's unique identity. And we must keep that. So think about it. What difference would it make in your life? In my life? In your life? And in others' lives? If they ignore God's word, His absolutes He has given. What would be different in our life if we ignore those things? And notice, Joshua is giving a call to faithfulness here, folks. He's giving a call to faithfulness to them because he says, I am old. I'm not only old, I'm very old. I'm not going to be around forever. It also meant those of his age wouldn't be around forever. So Joshua is telling them they have every reason to remain faithful to God. Why? Because God fights for them. God fought for them. They were able to vanquish many of the armies of the nations around them. How? Through Yahweh. As Brother Willard Winter said, Joshua's reference here was a general allusion to the fact that they would be able to overcome great odds. How? As they followed the Lord faithfully. God kept His word, His promises. He's still doing that today. We must not take this for granted. But notice something. What Joshua is telling the people, Yahweh's help was conditional. It was not unconditional. It had conditions on it. What was those conditions? Follow me. Follow my instructions that I have given you. Love me. Your loyalty must be exclusively to me. No other gods before. God's people must continue to love and serve Him exclusively. And Joshua's telling them, these other peoples that are remaining in the land, you have contact with them in such a way that you associate with them in such a way, they could tempt you to stop following Yahweh. You intermarry among them, Joshua is saying, that could cause you to fall away from Yahweh, following Yahweh. Why? Because those other people do not believe as you do. They do not follow Yahweh. You intermarry among them, and what's likely to happen? You're going to follow their ways.
And do what is evil.
They worship Baal, the master of weather god. That's what he was. The Asherah, Astarte, and Asherah, they worship those. Gods of the Babylonians and the gods of the Mesopotamians, they worship them. They worship the gods of the Egyptians. Then the others in the land, what would happen? They quit following Yahweh. And notice what Joshua says. If they do that, then Yahweh would abandon them. Would abandon Israel if that happened. The nations or people around them, notice what Joshua says here. They will become a snare and a trap to you. And it would cause them, what he says, it would cause them to perish from the land. I believe, as Matthew says, Kenneth Matthews says, this passage right here reinforces the fact that the land, the promised land, is a gift. It's a gift from Yahweh, and that gift can be rescinded. So in verses 14 to 16, look at what he says. This is what God, why Joshua wants them to know this. Now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth. What's he saying? He's saying, brothers and sisters, he's saying, folks, he says, I'm going to die. I'm going the way of all the earth. I'm not going to be here for you. I'm not going to be here leading you anymore. I'm going the way of all the earth. Joshua is saying, my death is imminent. He said, now behold, today I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls. And what Joshua is saying here is, you know this holistically. You know this in your the totality of your being. That not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. It shall come about that just as all the good words which the Lord your God spoke to you have come upon you, so the Lord will bring upon you. Now notice what he's saying, not what he says. So the Lord will bring upon you all the threats until he has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When, if, conditional, you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you will perish quickly from off the good land which he has given you. That's quite an ending for a speech, isn't it? That was only his first one. When Joshua knew the time had come that he was going to die, he's saying, I'm going to go the way of all the earth. He said, I don't know when. But when we come to chapter 24, next week we'll see Joshua knows that he's about to die. So he gives a third call for faithfulness here. And what he's saying here is a lesson for us. He's telling them, the ultimate responsibility is not mine. The ultimate responsibility is not Yahweh's. He is telling them that the ultimate responsibility is the people themselves. And that has both, and what Joshua is laying out, brothers and sisters, is that has both individual and corporate dimensions. And think about it. That's a vital lesson for the church today. A vital lesson for us today. Christian faith and values can be compromised. And many are trying and want to compromise those things. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. This is the significance of this. Do not be bound. That is, do not cling. Do not have a firm adherence to, allegiance to. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. That's for us. That's for the church. But Christian faith and values can be compromised. And just as God dealt with his people back then, so he deals with his people now. That's the significance of what Paul said in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 5 and 6. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he receives. Like unto that is what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. Actually, we go back to the first part of chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, here's the point. as Kenneth Matthews brings out. We need to be careful regarding the values and beliefs, and this is what Joshua was telling the people back then. We need to be careful regarding the values and beliefs of the people we allow into our inner circle. All of us, none of us, all of us are susceptible to being swayed by others to compromise what we believe and how we live. And that is more true today than ever. And we must not allow, not let that happen to us or within the church.
Now they got Rhoda in.
You see, Brother Willard Winter said, Joshua's not getting down on the people. It's a call. It's a call to faithfulness. Joshua wanted to encourage them. To encourage them to be faithful to God's covenant. Why? Because that would ensure the remaining in the land. The inheritance they had received. Now later we know what they did as far as their history was concerned. Right? And God did cast him out.
Well, Jesus' covenant isn't any less.
Exactly.
God is plowing the earth in his day.
But the same thing for us today. You see?
We
must remain faithful to his covenant. For us to ensure ourselves that we receive our inheritance. And what's our ultimate inheritance?
Eternal life.
Our ultimate inheritance is eternal life. It's with Him. That's our ultimate inheritance. But just as Joshua laid out here, brothers and sisters, it's conditional. And that condition is, and I know people don't like to hear those things. But the condition is that we follow this. He laid it out for us, just as he did for them. And he's saying, if you do this, if you follow me, then here's the result. But if you want to go your way, God's saying, go your way. And you'll get the consequences. But you won't receive the inheritance. And I don't know about you. And about all of us. But we shouldn't want to give up that inheritance, right? I don't want to. And how do we do that? This is what Joshua is telling the people there. You stay the course. You stay the course, and this is how you do it. And he's telling us the same thing. Amen. Let's stand at word of prayer. So many out there in the world today that want us to compromise our beliefs, our values. And we cannot allow that to happen to us. Father God, we thank you for this day that you've given us, for the message that we have in your word. Father, may we take it, the lesson to heart. May indeed, Father, we hear the call to faithfulness. That we stay the course. That indeed, Lord, that we not follow after the things of this world and the idols that we know that are around us in this world. But Father, that we maintain and that we stay the course in our faithfulness to you and our faithfulness to your Son. May we be encouraged by these words, Father. May we realize indeed, Lord, that your way is truly the only way. And it's the only way to peace and tranquility in our lives, and that is through your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us now, Lord, as we go to our homes. Guide and direct us until we meet again. Lead us to those who need to hear the saving knowledge that only comes through the gospel of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we ask all these things. Amen.